And unfortunately, as much as we would like to go back in time to change stuff, heads, what'd you get? Back to the lottery ticket, 200 and... But so I want you to think of these coins that God would make. If I had a two-headed coin, and we always ask for heads, God allows us to see heads all the time. So God can be with us through all of our problems, no matter how improbable they may seem. So I want you to think about that this week. I want you to think of any problem that you think is too big. Remember your quarter and flip your quarter and go, yeah, God can help me with those things. So let's pray. Good and gracious God, help us remember that you always give us, you work in spite of the odds that are against us, Lord. And thank you for doing small miracles as well as big miracles for us. And Lord, help us keep our eyes open for these miracles. In your son's name, we pray, and all of God's children say,
amen.
There we go. So grab a snack and keep the quarter. Well, grace to you and peace from God our Father and our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. We're continuing our series on taking advantage of the opportunities that come up in our lives. Now, you don't need to have listened to last week's sermon for this to make sense, as each week is sort of a self-contained unit. That being said, you can always go back and listen to last week's sermon podcast, which is located on our website. And as I said at the beginning of this week, of this service for this week, we're looking at our image of God. Is God big or small in our eyes? And as you're mulling over that question, I'd like to take a couple minutes and have people throw out some impossible or improbable scenarios. Now, if you need one to start the prompt, I'll go back to the lottery ticket, 292 million, one in 292 million is your odds of winning the Powerball. Now, I would encourage you, as you throw out these scenarios, please be nice with your sports examples, because I can think of quite a few. But, so, What's some examples of impossible or improbable things?
Hole in one.
Yes.
The Brewers playing the Twins in the World Series.
Very good. I was wondering if someone was going to go there. Dan, you have a rebuttal for that?
All right.
Okay. Any other ones? What?
Struck by lightning,
yes. So these are all some real good examples, so thank you guys. So now I want you to take a couple moments and think about those impossible or improbable things that you are dealing with. Maybe it's a bad relationship or a broken relationship. Maybe it's an addiction. Is it money problems or maybe health problems? What are those things that you just know are never going to change? Or think could never be different? So if you have your worship notes out, I'm going to have you just write in the margins there. Just take a couple moments, think about it. If you're not going to do that, just think about it. What are some of those things? What are those things that you feel are impossible or improbable? So if you have the chance, just write them down. So what do you think the odds look like for this stuff that you just wrote down happening? Do the odds seem stacked against you? Do the odds seem insurmountable? Even to just pray to God about them? I think too often our prayers revolve around asking God to reduce the odds in our lives. We want everything in our own favor. But maybe God wants to stack the odds against us so that we can experience a miracle of divine proportions. Maybe faith is trusting God no matter how impossible the odds are. Maybe our impossible situations are opportunities to experience a different dimension of God's glory. It's hard trusting, though, isn't it? I say this from personal experience myself. We live in a world of four dimensions, right? There's three cardinal directions, up, down, left, right, near, and far. That's how we locate stuff in the world. The other dimension that we have is time. As we know, time is linear. It started at one point, it's just progressing till the end. And unfortunately, as much as we would like to go back in time to change stuff we've done, or maybe something somebody's done to us, we can't. Time goes one direction. And isn't it into this type of Cartesian system that we stick God into, don't we? We stick God into these four barriers, four dimensions. And it's a shame we do this because it causes our vision of God to become smaller and smaller. However, this does make it easier for God to begin to fit into that little box that we have that we keep on the shelf whenever we need to have God. We're very good at creating God in our image instead of letting God create us in God's image. However, God isn't contained in the four dimensions, but is instead omnidimensional. God can look at what's going on from more different viewpoints than we can ever hope to see from our limited view. God is right before, right after, right ahead, right behind, at the same time. God has no dimensional limitations, and if we could wrap our minds around this one simple truth, it would transform our outlook on life. If we can embrace this outlook, we can see that when we are faced with these lions or problems of our lives, we see that God has put us in these situations not as a punishment, but as a means to create miracles. Miracles that change people's lives and even the world. When we are in the midst of these scary times, though, it can feel pretty ridiculous to pray about it. The odds feel stacked against us. I mean, how can God come and help us? Or they might seem like silly prayers to ask. Why would the God of the universe listen to me? And if you've ever felt like this before, I have a story that I'd like to talk to you again. It's our first reading from the book of 2 Kings. So if you have your Bibles in front of you, you can pull them out. We're going to be on page 294, which is 2 Kings chapter 6, verses 1 through 7, if you're using your Bible apps. Again, 2 Kings chapter 6, 1 through 7, which can be found on page 294 of those black pew Bibles. And this is probably one of the most ridiculous prayers ever prayed in the Bible, believe it or not. And the story starts off rather pedestrianly. It's rather bland. It's nothing too exciting. We don't know what's going to happen. So we start in verse 1. Now the company of the prophets said to Elisha, as you see, the place where we live under your charge is too small for us. Let us go to the Jordan and let us collect some logs there, one for each of us, and build a place there for us to live. And Elisha said, do so. And then one of them said, please come with your servants. And he answered, I will. So we went with them, and when they came to the Jordan, they cut down trees. Again, pretty boring stuff. They're going to make some houses. You know, it seems like, why are we including this in the Bible? But we'll go on. So here it comes. But as one was felling a log, his axe head fell into the water, and he cried, alas, master, it was borrowed. Did you hear that? One of the servants took a swing with the axe, and yoink! Plop. There went the axe head. This is the moment that probably would have landed him on America's funniest home videos, right? Now, the guy felt bad because, of course, when this happens, it's not your tool, right? It's your neighbor's tool. And we all know what it's like to give someone something back that you borrowed that's broken now. I'm sorry, I didn't mean to do that. It's not a good feeling to have when you break something or lose something. And then in verse 6, then the man of God said, which was Elijah, where did it fall? Really, Elijah? Where did it fall? Are you going to go in there and get it? It's a deep stream. I don't think you're going to do anything about it. It's gone. We need to count our losses and move on, right? But then something miraculous happened. And then the servant showed Elisha the place. He cut off a stick and threw it in there and made the iron float. And he said, go pick it up. So he reached out his hand and took the axe head. What? What? I don't know about you, but I'm a little confused about this miracle. I mean, we only have so many in circulation, right? Why are you wasting one on an axe head? I mean, it wasn't the end of the world. He lost an axe head. It was a funny thing. People laughed. It was okay. However, I think this miracle reveals something about God's character, in that God cares about the little things, like axe heads. God is great not because nothing is too big for God, but God is great because nothing is too small for God either. These kinds of miracles also help us redefine reality, which that in our reality, nothing is too difficult for God. So I hope you have your worship notes out, because I'm going to answer that first question on your sheet if you do. So again, if you don't have them, pull your worship notes out. And the first answer is, lion chasers thrive in the toughest circumstances because they know that impossible odds set the stage for amazing miracles. Lion chasers thrive in the toughest circumstances because they know that impossible odds set the stage for amazing miracles. We see this in our gospel lesson for today. I don't know about you, but I don't think Jesus really knows how to do math, does he? I mean, in what field of math does 5 loaves plus 2 fish equal 5,000 people? I haven't seen anything in algebra, not in geometry, not in calculus, not in differential equation. 5 plus 2 doesn't equal 5,000. But what does Jesus do, though? He took the food, blessed it, and gave it out. 5,000 plus people were fed, and guess what? There were still 12 large baskets of food left. I think the question we should be asking ourselves daily is, do we allow God to be big enough for our problems? Can we grow in our faith to be able to see that God is bigger than our lions/problems? This is the answer to your second question. How do you think about God will determine who you become? How you think about God will determine who you will become. Because the more we grow in faith, the bigger God should get. And the bigger God gets, the smaller our lions become. So the way we see God in our life and world matters. Now, one of the goals that we have here at church is to end hunger here in Baldwin. It sounds impossible, right? It sounds unrealistic. But folks, we've been working towards this goal. People are being fed. Last week, we gave away 30 bags of groceries to help families that needed help in summer food and fun. Each month, you all have been giving food and money to the food shelf, which again, feeds our neighbors. We are making a difference. God is using us, this church, and our community to show people that the improbable and impossible are possible. I think we need to say that again. God is using us, this church, and our community to show people that the improbable and impossible are possible. Finally, here's the answer to the third question on your worship notes. The reality is that there's nothing too difficult for God. The reality is that nothing is too difficult for God. So I know what many of you might be thinking right now. Yeah, Paul, I prayed, but nothing happened. My relatives still died from cancer. I'm still hurting. I'm still sick. Where was God then? Where was my miracle? My answer is God is still with you. God is still walking with you in the midst of these impossible and improbable things. What I also know is that sometimes the miracles we expect are not the miracles that God gives us. I have seen many folks who were not healed physically from their cancer, but were healed emotionally or spiritually. I have seen folks who have changed the course of their lives based on their interactions working with people who are sick or hurting. I know miracles are happening, but they don't always seem to be for us clear to see on our end. And these miracles are not always on our time frames. Again, it comes back to how we view God. Do we see a God who is confined to our expectations and manners of working in the world? Or do we see a God who changed the density of an axe head to allow it to float? Do we believe in a God who can take 5 loaves of bread and 2 fish and feed 5,000 plus people? How big is God to you today? The question I will leave with you today and for this week is, how big do you need to see God so that God can help you with your improbable odds? How big? Think and pray about this week. And you might even be surprised at how the odds have shifted. Amen.